Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 17. Taistan Yagani Pujante Tapodanam Vratadibi Na Dharmaja Tad Dridayam Tad Api Sangri Sevaya. Tais by those, Tani all those, Agani sinful activities and their results. Pujante, become vanquished. Tapa, austerity. Dana, charity. Rata Adibi, by vows and other such activities. Na, not. Adharma Jam, produced from irreligious actions. Tat, of that. Ridayam, the heart. Tat, that. Api, also. Isha Angri, of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sevaya, by service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in the heart, in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Please repeat. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life, through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Bhakti Parashanu Bhavo Virakti Anyatra Anyatra Cha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful, because material desires means sense gratification, which always involves action that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is anya bilasita shunya. In other words, it is free from material desires, which result from karma and gyan. One who is situated in devotional service is no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, through one's austerities, penances, and charity, may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear, because his heart is impure. Thus he will act sinfully and suffer. So the text again. Taistan yagani pujante tapodanam vratadibi na dharma jam tadridayam tad api sangri sevaya. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contamination. Although sometimes the devotees appreciate it more if we talk about something positive rather than talking about sin. When I first came to the movement, my temple president used to complain that when I gave class, I'd talk about sin all the time. So here we're also talking about sin. One of the first questions Arjuna asked Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, Shreyan Swadhamo Viguna Paradharma Swanustitat Swedame Nidanam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha, that it's better to perform one's own prescribed duty, even though one may execute it in a faulty way, than perform someone else's duty. Activities prescribed by oneself, even if imperfectly formed, are okay, but to perform someone else's duty is dangerous. So Arjuna was wondering, here I am on the battlefield, Krishna seems to be criticizing me because I want to become a Brahmin rather than work as a Kshatriya. But actually, I'm just trying to avoid something very unpleasant, namely killing my relatives, which is certainly, no one's going to say that's a good idea. If you wake up one day and you feel bad and you want to kill your friends and relatives, people won't, and you decide not to do it, and then your other friend is telling you, no, go and do it, go ahead. So certainly you'd wonder, why is it that I'm supposed to be a Kshatriya, I want to act as a Brahmin, but now you're criticizing me. I want to act in a higher way, you're criticizing me. So Krishna says, no, you should do what you're supposed to do. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're violating the laws of material nature. You're going to get a reaction for not doing what you're supposed to do. And not only that, but you're going to do something that you're not supposed to do, so you're going to take over someone else's service. So you're going to become sinful by interfering with someone else's service. Now, of course, the whole background is one has to believe in God. If one doesn't believe in God, there's no question of really duty. If we don't accept our philosophy, and our philosophy is that everything belongs to Krishna. So that's a very difficult philosophy to accept because that entails a lot of things, entails a whole readjustment of our consciousness, which is generally quite gradual, that actually everything belongs to Krishna, that my body belongs to Krishna, that whatever I'm doing I have to do under Krishna's direction, or else I'm going to become sinful. It's too difficult. But actually, that is our whole philosophy. Everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore, we should find out what Krishna wants us to do, or else Maya is going to get us. This is practically impossible for people to accept nowadays, that if I'm sinful, that Maya is going to, the lightning bolt from the sky is going to come and hit me on the head. And therefore people commit sinful activities and looking around for the lightning bolt, and it doesn't come. Rarely anyone gets hit on the head by a lightning bolt. Therefore they think, well, if I don't get hit on the head by a lightning bolt, therefore there is no God. I can do whatever I want. There's no reaction. I'm free. So people don't really know what sinful activities are. They don't even know what sin is. They don't know what the stages of sin are. They have no idea. They have some preconception of what they think is sin, and if they're not experiencing their preconception, what they think is sin, therefore they think everything's all right. So it's almost impossible for them to understand the next verse. Arjuna says, Ata keno priyukta oyam papam purusha anicca napi varchnaya baladi vinyojitaha. That I want to do my service, I want to do my duty, but something's not allowing me to do it. So what is it? And then Krishna says, Kama esha, Krodha esha, Rajaguna, Samudbhavaha, Mahashino, Mahapapma, Vidinam, Iyavarinam. It is lust only, Arjuna. So people are not afraid of lust in Kali Yuga. People are anxious to become lusty. They buy magazines, they go on the internet, because they want to become excited. Excited in the material world nowadays means to become lusty. So the trick is how to become lusty, but not too angry. How to increase your lust unlimitedly that eventually you become impelled by simply pure greed. That even you can't gratify your senses anymore, but you're greedy to get more things that will help you gratify your senses, although you can't do it. So that's called greed. I can only eat 5 chapatis, but I want 20. Because then I feel like I have more than everyone else and I'm satisfied. I can't eat them, but I don't want anyone else to eat them either. And then when I can't get the 20 chapatis, I become angry. And what's the result of the anger? Frustration. I can't control the material world the way I want it. Then I become deluded. I create a whole virtual reality within my consciousness where I'm the victim and life is unfair to me. And that somehow or another I have to make arrangements in the future to become the controller of the material world. So that means that's our present existence of a conditioned soul. He's bewildered by a delusion. He's living in a virtual reality where he's imagining he's this material body and that he has to fulfill his material desires. And he sees everything through his perverted intelligence, which gives him a conception of life different from reality. And naturally, with such type of intelligence, then his next activity will also be material, as his last activities were material. But people aren't afraid of that. They think it's good. They think this is a way of enjoying. As I said, it's all pervading. If you look on the signs, I saw some signs the last time I was here in Ljubljana, and these singers were having signs like this. Everyone was, you know what that means? What's that? Nishinga, no? It means they're worshiping the devil. So the politicians make that sign sometimes, the singers, because they're worshiping lust, anger, greed, delusion, bewilderment, madness. This is their existence. And if they're told it's not good, they think you're not good for telling them that. So material life nowadays means Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhagavan Chitare Nikatasta Tare Japatiyadare. People have turned their face away from Krishna and therefore Maya is slapping them into material illusion. We're already deluded. We were born into delusion. Ichcha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohana Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samoham Sargayanti Purantapa. That all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by desire and hate. So that's material existence. We were born into with our past karma into a material concept of life, probably into parents who trained us further into the material concept of life, and we took our whole experience as either hankering for what we don't have or lamenting for what we had or lost or don't have. So material life means simply hankering and lamentation. Because material life begins with avidya. We don't know who we actually are. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing to find out who we are, to realize who we are. We don't know the value of who we are. And therefore, naturally, we're inclined to sinful activities, which is known as papam. Or we have bija, the sinful desire. So our whole existence right now, from the materialist, or the materialist, one desire after another is coming through the mind, whether I should do this sinful activity or that sinful activity. And they're believing I can do sinful activities and be a good person. They don't realize, according to the modern standard, what's a good person. Previously, a good person meant that you performed charity, you performed some austerity, you did some penance, tapa, danam, and jagnas and jaga, sacrifice. Or here is vrata. But now good activity, if you can simply have one wife for a couple of years, then you're considered quite pious. Of course, no one can do that, so it's all right if you have a couple of girlfriends on the side. That's cool. And if you, well, anyhow, they do, that's probably the most pious person. There's no question of killing animals as being impious. Of course, if you become a vegan, then it's considered to be pious not to have any animal products, and you're considered to be sinful if you drink milk. My God, look at that person. He's about to drink milk. Grab him. He's going to hell. So people have a whole misconception. And therefore, to introduce that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smarta vyaksaratam vishnu vismartak jatunakinchit sarva vidhi nisedyasyora etavya eva kinkara. That's pious, or non-sinful activity, is to remember Krishna and never forget him. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we're simply walking around, just like there was one devotee. He decided he was always going to remember Krishna and never forget him. So he took a maha mantra. He wrote it on a piece of paper and got a harmonica stand. You know, harmonica. And he put it on the harmonica stand, and it was right in front of his eyes. So wherever he looked, he can only see the Hare Krishna mantra. You think that way I'll always remember Krishna and I'll never forget him. And that worked for some time. He used to walk around in the temple. He wouldn't do anything else. He was afraid of seeing anything else. Except for prasad. So he was walking around the temple chanting Hare Krishna with his, seeing the harmonica stand. And then finally he got bored doing that. So he walked outside the temple and circumambulated in the temple. Then he got bored and he circumambulated the block and then two blocks, and finally he kept on circumambulating and no one saw him anymore. Therefore, we're not only trying to chant Hare Krishna, we're also trying to learn the philosophy. And the philosophy is that everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore everything should be utilized for Krishna's service. And to find, we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy. So that's probably the most difficult part, because Krishna, to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy requires some spiritual intelligence. If we could do whatever we want and then offer it to Krishna, that would be easy. But that's not the process. Therefore, one has to accept Krishna's representatives, and not just accept Krishna's representatives, but accept their instructions. And follow those instructions, which ultimately means how to serve every living entity in this world appropriately. So that's difficult because we already have preconceptions of who we are and what our relationship with others are and how we're supposed to act with them and who's good and who's bad and who's this and who's that and why things happen and why they don't happen. We already have so many preconceptions. That's called conditioned life. But there's a reality of spiritual consciousness, and it's not only supposed to be restricted to some spiritual world that we're unaware of. We're supposed to act as if we're in the spiritual world in this world. Now, of course, we don't feel like that, we don't see like that, and sometimes we don't even think like that. So we hear instructions and we think, well, what is that? What is the value of that? That's so theoretical. It's so unlike me. I have my nature. I have my conceptions. And this is going to be a big interference. It's too difficult. That's called philosophy. We think, oh, it's so philosophical. I'm not a philosopher. Why should I listen? No, but actually the philosophy is that we have to learn how to act as if everyone was Krishna's eternal servant. Even we don't see like that, we don't think like that, certainly we don't feel like that. As soon as we look at anyone, immediately we have certain feelings that this is my friend, this is my enemy, this is a good person, this is a bad person. Good person means that they love me, they worship me, and anything less than that, they're bad to different degrees. And therefore I reciprocate. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. I'm not trying to become God. I'm just trying to become a little God. I'm not trying to become the big God. And then then someone criticizes, who are you to criticize me? Do you know who I am? And they go, no, who are you? Well, I don't really know who I am either. But you shouldn't criticize me, whoever I am. Therefore, one has to become a servant to Krishna's servants. And one has to become a conscious servant of Krishna's servants. Conscious servant of Krishna's servants means that we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do under every circumstance, not only what he wants us to do, but the consciousness in which he wants us to do it. It's not enough to do the right thing, we have to do it for the right reasons. So the right reason is ultimately bhakti. And here it says, bhakti pareshanu vyaktira anyatra trisa eka kala. So if we actually perform activities with some bhakti, and of course bhakti doesn't necessarily mean just pure love. We can't look at the devotee and say, oh, I love you. I love you too. I love you. Because we don't love. Hopefully not in that way. No, love for the conditioned soul has to begin with, at least with something like appreciation. And if we don't have any appreciation, at least we should have the correct vision. If we have the correct vision, then our material conceptions, which arise due to our past activities, because we're all walking around in a bubble, and programmed into this bubble is our desires since time immemorial, which according to whatever we're looking at, whatever circumstances we're under, immediately, by the working of the material nature, immediately there'll come a thought, a conception, a feeling. Everything is programmed like that. We don't have to look around, look at someone, try to think about, what am I seeing, unless we're blind. No, immediately, every thing we look at in the material world, some, by association, will come some feeling, some thought, some desire, everything. So we have to add to that Krishna consciousness. And the only way of adding Krishna consciousness to it is to add Krishna service to it. Otherwise, we won't be able to see properly. If we don't hear from the self-realized souls, from Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, Krishna will not give us remembrance of actually what is the reality of the situation. Or if we have the attitude of service, like if we hear from Krishna's representatives how to see things properly, how to feel things properly, how to do things properly, then Krishna, as much as we accept that and do that, then didadami buddhi yogam tam. Then Krishna gives us intelligence, actually how to see things, how to do things, how to conceive of things in such a way that we won't be influenced by material desire. Abritam jnana etena, jnana no nityavarina, kamarupena kuntia, dusprena analena cha, udumena vriyate vanira, yatardana namena cha, yatardana vita garvas, yatardana abritam. Dumena vriyate vanira, yatardana just like fire is covered by smoke, the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So we don't have to become lusty, we're already covered by lust. But it's so thick, the layers are so thick, and it's been around for so long, we've gotten used to it. We don't even recognize what it is. We're looking out through our little fortress called the material body, seeing the material world through our material concept of life, which we're covered by, and we're thinking that's reality. And then someone else comes along, gives a lecture, and saying, you're a Maya. And we're thinking, who are they to tell me what I am in? Who do they think they are? How dare they criticize? Now I've descended, the fools, they deride me when I descend in this human life form. They probably don't know my transcendental nature and my dominion over so many things. And therefore their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge will all be defeated. So we're walking around in this little bubble, seeing throughout with our little vision and intelligence, seeing that's reality, and we're being pushed along by our material conceptions and desires. Although they're burning us, we're always in anxiety about what's going to happen, about how people are going to treat me, what's there today to eat, what am I going to eat tomorrow, will my bed be soft enough for me to sleep in it tonight? Although we're always in anxiety about material existence, still we think we're liberated. And Krishna explains the whole In the next verse, Indriyani mano bunir asya dishtanam uchate eteravi mohadyatyaita gyanam arityadehinam. He said we should actually analyze our situation. Why are we going to this philosophy? Why don't they just talk about love for Krishna? Something positive, something that will is attracting. Talk about Krishna and his love for the gopis and how they're in the bushes right now. Tell us something more exciting, more applicable to me. Something that attracts me. Yes, and there was Krishna and the gopis were there and, oh, wow, finally, something interesting. What happened next? No, we have to find out how we're being seduced by the material nature and how to get out of that seduction so that we can actually fix our minds upon Krishna. And that begins, if we can fix our mind upon Krishna, first of all, we get out of material desire. And then eventually we get into spiritual desire. Spiritual desire means eventually we actually can feel, we can not only think about Krishna, we can feel Krishna and his associates. And feeling Krishna and his associates, their name, their form, their quality and pastime, are all the nature of spiritual pleasure. Because that's all there is in the spiritual world, is in spiritual pleasure. It's of a different quality. And it all comes about just by thinking and feeling and willing about Krishna. So therefore Krishna says we have to see how to stop thinking about material desire and how to start thinking about spiritual desire. So Krishna, Prabhupada writes that Maya has captured different strategic points in the body. And therefore our tongue is hankering for something, our belly is hankering, our minds are hankering, our genitals are hankering, our anger is hankering. And how does it all begin? By hearing the glories of material existence. How is modern society expanded? Because that's what's being glorified. Especially sex life is being glorified. Any kind of sex life. Therefore, the major industry nowadays, which is greater than that combined of all the music, selling records and music, all the sports, all the different things that combine together for entertainment. More than 50% people are spending their money on pornography. So that's the major entertainment, more than any other entertainment. So that's what people are hearing about. That's what people are thinking about. That's what people are doing. That's become the norm. Illicit sex, which leads ultimately to support illicit sex, that you have to have unlimited illicit sex, then you need intoxication and meat eating. In order to digest the meat, you also need intoxication. And then your whole mind is completely bewildered because you can't figure out whether you're attracted to men or women or animals. Living bodies or dead bodies, so everything is a speculation. So material life begins with material desire, which is grihamedinam, or as yanmai tunaiti grihamedi sukham hitu cham. The only real happiness in material existence ultimately is sex life. So modern civilization is existing on simply expanding the glories of sex life. And therefore what's allowed and what's not allowed, what the norms of society are generally based upon beginning with what the relation between men and women are. Of course, nowadays, it's not only men and women, it's men and children. the leaders of society in many parts of the world, who knows, because it's all covered over, they are so burnt out because they have such great opportunities for sex life between men and women, and they got tired of that, so now they've tried men and men, and they got tired of that, and they probably tried animals, and now it's children, something new. And that's the leaders who have unlimited opportunities. And therefore, although other people find it abominable, but because as they become more and more conditioned by the material nature, it'll become completely acceptable. Have sex with children and then eventually eat them also. So that's Kali Yuga. And that's hearing the glories of how wonderful it is, materialistic existence. If you go to the newsstand, all you'll see is probably most of the magazines all have some lady on the cover. And the whole message is, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. Come and enjoy, and then I'll kick you in the face. But they don't put that on the cover. They come and enjoy, come and enjoy. And therefore, people are all constantly hearing about that, and they think, yeah, let me, everyone else is enjoying, it must be all right. Just like if you want to sell something on the street, then you have a little table on the street, you're selling something. Like they have this, sometimes you have these games where people are gambling. You have some cups and you have a little pea and they switch them around. People are trying to guess where the pea is, and then they make a bet. And no one wants to come. But if you hire a couple of people, stand around. And then people think, well, what's going on there? Everyone else is standing around. Let me go and take a look and see what's happening. And then more people come and more people come. And then people think, this is a real happening here. And they all come. So when people think something's going on, then they become attracted by it. They hear the glories. And therefore they spend millions and billions of dollars on advertisement for something. And the result is, when the mind becomes lusty by hearing the attraction of the glories of lusty, of sense gratification, then the soul also becomes interested in how to gratify my desire. So, lusty intelligence, it acquires lusty intelligence. The soul decides, let me satisfy my lusty desires. And in order to satisfy lusty desires, we need lusty intelligence. So lusty intelligence influences the soul to acquire a false ego by which it identifies itself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. And therefore, when we have lusty desires, we have lusty conceptions, we have a false ego, it all leads to sinful activity, lusty activity. And therefore one acts like an animal. One becomes further implicated in the material concept of life. Therefore Krishna says, Therefore, in the beginning, Arjuna, curb this great desire for sinful activity by regulated activities and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So, in other words, we have to follow regulations. Regulations is the most basic form of trying to figure out what Krishna wants us to do. Therefore, in the very beginning, Arjuna, Tasmat Ado. Do you have that? You have a little thing there that says, chapter 3, text number 41. Tasmatvam indriyanyado niyamnabhar paratarshava papmanam prajihienam jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, Arjuna, in the very beginning, curved this great Tasmat Ado. Tasmat, what's the next one after Ado? Tasmat Papam. What's that? No, Tasmat Ado. Tasmat Tvam Indriyanya Ado. Tasmat Tvam Indriyanya. Niyamya Bharatarshava. Papmanam Prajihienam. Jnana Vijnana Nashanam. Therefore, in the very beginning, Arjuna curbed this great desire for sinful activity by regulating the senses and destroy this and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. In other words, we really have to be, if we want to make spiritual advancement, we have to become very serious about becoming a servant to Krishna's servants. Now, in the beginning, we may have sadhana bhakti, which keeps us a little bit above material existence. In other words, we chant a certain number of rounds a day, we come and see the deities, we hear a class, but that's not the whole thing. We actually have to apply it moment to moment within our lives eventually by becoming a sincere servant of Krishna's servants. Therefore, we accept a devotee in disciple succession from Krishna as our spiritual master, and at the time of initiation, we make a vow to become identify ourselves as simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and we take instructions from such an elevated devotee how to become a servant of all the devotees eternally. Not if they're nice to me, I'm nice to them, and if they're not nice to me, I'm not nice to them, and I do, you know, I follow my inspiration, whatever. No, when we take initiation, the idea is that we're actually identifying ourselves as Krishna's servant, and we're trying to learn how to become a servant of all of Krishna's servants appropriately. That's the point of initiation. Not only the servant of Krishna's servants, but the servant of every living entity by trying to help them become Krishna conscious. And not only the servant of every living entity, but the servant of even the people who are atheistic, by just neglecting them, not encouraging them, by associating with them. Then gradually we get free from our sinful desires, because anything other than that is sinful. Now the Christians say, I am the true, that there's only one way. And that's become they get a very bad reputation for it. I am the truth, I'm the light, and no one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. I am the only way. And there comes the Hare Krishna's typical fanatical religion, and they say, there's only one way, you have to surrender to the spiritual master. That he's the truth, the light, and the way, and no one comes to Krishna except through him. And we're embarrassed to tell anyone that because they'll think we're Christians. Or worse than that, they'll think we're fanatical Muslims. Allah Akbar, Krishna Akbar. But that is the fact. Of course, we explained Jesus Christ at that time, he may have been the only way. He may have been the only one preaching the truth. But the truth is the truth for everyone. And you can only get to the truth if you find out someone who knows the truth. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And if we don't know perfectly the truth, at least we have to point out someone who does know the truth and tell people to follow that truth, the person who knows the truth. Then we'll be the good friend of others. We may not know perfectly the truth, but if we're convinced that someone does know the truth and we should follow them, then we should tell people, don't follow me, follow the truth, or follow someone who actually knows the truth. And therefore we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Whatever realizations we have, they're based upon Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And what is that ultimate teaching? What did Prabhupada was teaching? Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aigaya Guruhana Tari Desh. Whoever we meet, we should tell them about Krishna. That's the truth. We should try to learn the art of Krishna consciousness so that we become effective in convincing people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by whatever knowledge, whatever talents we have, by whatever energies we have. If we utilize our talents, our energies, our abilities in that service, then we're not sinful, then we're actually becoming spiritualized. And if we do anything else besides that, any other conception, whether it be in the mode of goodness or in passion or in ignorance, to different degrees, we're just sinful in this age. So people may accuse us of being fanatics, but at least if we're not fanatics, we should be fanatics about the right thing. We should be good fanatics. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Still when I'm in the street, I still feel very attractive when I see the female beauty. So sometimes I have these tendencies to preach to beautiful women or something, but I still I kind of talk about Krishna. I'm trying to dovetail this passion to the name of Krishna or this, but I know the lusty desire is very strong and
probably it's better off not feeding the lusty desire. As I said, I once was distributing books to the airport. My co-distributor, I think he was number two in the world at that time on the Sankirtan newsletter. And I was always, his technique was quite simple. We were in Raleigh-Durham Airport. And whoever is the most beautiful, attractive lady who came by, best dressed, obviously she had some Lakshmi. So he'd stop her. And he was a nice looking devotee. And if you took a snapshot of his, or a movie of his, trying to distribute a book to this lady, you'd think there was some romance going on in the airport. That Romeo had finally met Juliet. And inevitably, she'd buy the book and give a nice donation. And that way, all the nice ladies who came through the airport became benedicted by him and received transcendental literature. And at first I was a little envious of his book scores, but then when I watched him, I realized I couldn't imitate him. So this went on for some months, and then one day he found the lady he was looking for, and that was the end of his book distribution. So we should avoid, if we know that we have some problem, we shouldn't feed it. Better to try to limit what's causing us agitation and try to do something else. Otherwise, we may not be able to maintain that situation for very long. Actually, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.